presents Heart of the Matter. This is a weekly community affairs program produced by WIEL.
Good morning, this is Heart of the Matter. We're going to have Rick Gaims, the Industrial Foundation executive, here in about 14 minutes from now. But first of all, let's talk some taxes and correct tax filing and so on. We're happy to have Pat Brummer, Media Relations Specialist with the IRS. Pat, you drove all the way down from Indianapolis just to do this interview?
I drove all the way down from Indianapolis to do a lot of interviews and a lot of traveling in the state of Kentucky.
Okay, well, I was very impressed that you would drive all the way to Elizabethtown.
I'm going farther than Elizabethtown.
Before I started this, I was telling you that a favorite niece of mine actually works for the IRS in the Indianapolis area, Lorna Eagle. She's a sweetheart. I think you actually know Lorna.
Right. She works for the Criminal Investigation Division, so she handles tax fraud is what she does, what she handles.
So I'm here to personally testify that, IRS people don't have horns or wings or anything. They're actually real people, and like I say, Lorna is, she's just a great person. But Pat, getting away from all of that, why don't we jump in? What are some of the new things maybe the taxpayers need to know about this tax season?
First of all, they're going to notice people who are married filing joint are going to notice that they have a much higher standard deduction. Last year it was $7,850, and this year it's jumped up to $9,500. And if you remember, when you heard Congress talking about it this past summer, they wanted to eliminate what they call the marriage penalty. And so what the standard deduction is now twice that of the single person. So that's a big plus for married filing joint people. It may cause a problem for people who normally itemize. They might find that they don't have enough money now to itemize because the standard deduction has gone so high. Another thing that is good news for married filing joint people is the 10% rate. The 10% tax rate is going to apply to the first $12,000 of income. And then the next rate is the 15% rate, and that tops out at $56,800 for married filing joint people. So that means that there will be more people who will be in those lower income brackets, which is a big plus for some people.
It's hard not to get political when you talk about some of that. I don't mean to get political at all, and I hope I don't, but you hear once again about tax cuts. What can you tell us about those tax cuts this
right.
past year?
That's exactly what they're talking about is when they're talking about the tax cuts. They're also lowering the tax rates above the 15% rate. These have been lowered by 2 percentage points. The top rate, which was 38.6%, has been lowered to 35%. So those are what we would consider tax cuts. As I said, the marriage penalty, that elimination of the marriage penalty, that is also considered a tax cut.
Well, once again, a controversial subject. It's all over the news. I don't know if it affects IRS or how people file, but same-sex marriages.
The IRS, for our purposes on a tax return, doesn't recognize them at this time. It's when we say married filing joint, it's a man and a woman filing a joint return. There is nothing been legislated into the tax law that changes that. And we go, the law that we go by in that particular instance goes back probably about 30 or 40 years. Unless that law is changed, we will have to comply with it, which means you have to be married filing a joint return and two different genders, a man and a woman.
Let me ask you about tips. Because we have people listening out there that are whatever, they depend on tips as part of their income or maybe a major part of their income. What do they need? Is there a pitfall they need to watch out for?
Absolutely. They need to, first of all, the IRS is looking very closely at tipped income people, and I know a lot of people get upset about it because they say these are lower income workers and we're looking at lower income workers, but we do find that tip income is quite often the type of income that is not reported. So we have been working with restaurants, the hotel industry. We have a number of individuals who are involved in those industries on board, where they are actually going to their employees and saying, you know, you need to report your tips. The tip income is taxable income. You report it. Your employer pays Social Security taxes on it, so that money goes into your Social Security account. So it is important to report tip income, and you need to be aware of the fact that, you know, we are doing a lot of studies on it, and we are looking into tipped income and how we can better monitor that particular type of income.
There's a story out of the Cleveland, Ohio area a couple of days ago where they won a big lottery prize up there, and the community did not have an ordinance in place, so they couldn't collect that tax money. But lotteries are going everywhere. Tennessee just yesterday, I think, went online with their first scratch-off lottery game. Kentucky has had lotteries. I guess the IRS gets that money pretty quickly, don't they?
Right. We get the money up front. Lottery winnings, a lot of people think that lottery winnings are not taxable income for federal purposes, but they are. Some states do not tax lotteries, but the federal government does tax lotteries, and the lottery takes it out right off the top.
Okay. Let me ask you about filing by the Internet. You and I were talking about that, and Judy is the tax person. She's the brains in our family, and she started doing this a couple of years ago. The first year, it was a little cumbersome trying to figure it out, and she got smoother and more at ease with it. What would you say about filing on the Internet?
I think, number one, when we're talking about electronic filing, it's a win-win situation. It's a win for the taxpayer. It's a win for the government. First of all, the error rate is incredibly low. It's less than 1%. The error rate on a paper return is 20%, so you're talking about a lot of people receiving notices from the IRS asking for additional information so we can process the tax return. With electronic return, that return is just about perfected by the time it's processed. We don't have a problem with Social Security numbers because the Social Security number has been verified. It eliminates math errors. It eliminates taking, a lot of people make errors when they go to our charts and they bring an amount from a chart over to the tax form. They make errors that way. That's eliminated with electronic filing. The electronic filing also, when we're talking about a confirmation, you get a confirmation within 48 hours from the IRS that we've received your return. With a paper return, your confirmation is your refund check if you're going to receive one, or if you owe the IRS, the fact that we processed your check. The other thing I want to mention is that it is safe, it is secure, it's just the way to go, and it is the wave of the future.
I was going to ask you about the safe and secure because, you know, this is, you could tell driving in, this is still a small town, and several tax preparers that I know personally have sat in the chair where you are. They're personal friends. They've helped me out with elections and that type of thing. And I take my financial records to them, and I know them, and I trust them, you know.
Right.
Whereas when people give out what they call confidential information out on the Internet, there's a little bit of uneasiness. Where in the world, whose hands is this information going to get to? What can you tell them about the safety of filing electronically?
Well, the one thing I can say, we've had... electronic filing has been in existence for probably about 8 years, and we have not once compromised the integrity of the system. It has been, it has been about as safe as anything. The thing I might want to mention is when you talk about a tax preparer, one of the things that we're doing this month is we're alerting people to be careful when you choose a tax preparer. There's a lot of fraud in the tax preparer industry, unfortunately. There are a number of people out there who are unscrupulous. And you have to think about this. Think about all the things that you give that tax preparer. You give them your Social Security number, and you give them all your financial information. You want to make sure that it is a reputable person. In the state of Kentucky, 51% of the people go to a paid preparer to have their taxes done. You want to make sure that this person is reputable. Is this someone who's been around for a while? Ask your friends and your family. Don't be influenced by flashy ads. Maybe somebody's setting up a trailer on the corner who's going to be around for 2 or 3 months. you want to make sure that that person is going to be around for months, because you're not going to get an IRS notice until about 3 or 4 months after you've filed your return.
That's good advice, and check it out. And do me a favor, before we run out of time, give us some toll-free telephone numbers and or places on the Internet where IRS information can be gained.
On our website is irs.gov or www.irs.gov. Go to the front page, click on 1040 Central, and right there is everything that you need for filing your return, finding a preparer, and also tracking your refund. I mean, you filed your return, you want to know when you're going to get your refund, that's a good place to go. We have a toll-free helpline where you can get live telephone assistance. That's 1-800-829-1040, or another way of thinking about it is 1-800-TAX-1040. That number is available from 7 in the morning until 10 o'clock at night, Monday through Friday.
Regardless of what you say or I say or public service announcements or preaching at people, which you shouldn't do, a lot of people are going to wait right till April 15th. It's inevitable. But what would you say, or do you say to people that go ahead and not wait till the last day?
That's my suggestion, because at the last minute, and I've done it before, I always have a form. I always need a form that I don't have. And where am I going to get it? Now, of course, you can get it on the Internet if you have access to a computer. That's real simple. But if you don't have access to the Internet, you may be running all over town, every bank, post office, library, looking for the form. I think it's always a good idea to get everything laid out so that you know you have exactly what you need. You have the forms that you need. If you're missing something like a W-2 or a 1099, you have time to get to that payer of that money to get a copy of it so that you can file your return.
What are the most frequent mistakes that are made on some of those forms?
Believe it or not, Social Security errors are 50% of the errors on a paper form. They're either illegible, we can't read them, the number is incorrect, or they're missing. And if we could eliminate Social Security errors, something as simple as that, we would eliminate half the errors on tax returns today. So my suggestion is, look at your Social Security card, and especially your children. A lot of people think they know their children's Social Security numbers, and they don't. Make sure all those cards are laid out in front of you when you do your tax return, and then print it legibly if you're going to do a paper return, or type it in.
Pat, thank you. Our time is up. I appreciate your coming in, stopping in here, and some other media outlets in the area. Remember, you're south of the Ohio River now, so go over that www thing just a little bit slower
it's
as we close.
www.irs.gov, or just think of irs.gov. That's the best way to think of it.
Okay, Pat. Pat Brummer, Media Relations Specialist with the Internal Revenue Service out of Indianapolis, and be sure to say hello to Lorna Eagle for us.
I certainly will.
We recorded that interview about a week ago, and as we do this, it's virtually live. We're doing it on a Friday afternoon. Rick Games literally slid down to the radio station to do the interview. It's pretty snowy out there. Rick Games is president and COO of the Elizabethtown Hardin County Industrial Foundation. Of course, he's a past head of the fire department in Elizabethtown, and Rick has been doing this industrial recruitment thing. It's hard to believe, but almost 3 years now, Rick. Goodness gracious, time is marching on. Rick, thank you for doing it, and we'll talk about several things as time allows us. I want to talk about the West Point Schools. A nice series of articles by the News Enterprise. I'm sure you
yes,
read those.
Yes, I did.
Did that bring back any memories? Because you were a West Pointer at one time, weren't you?
Yes, sir. I was born and raised up there. Rode that bus for several years. I can remember mornings like this right here. It was an experience. You'd have to get huddled up in there to stay warm on that long ride to school. And it didn't close schools much back in those days. So we made a lot of long trips down here in snowy weather.
You know, we have a lady working here in our building who is a sales lady, and I got to talking with her the other day, and, you know, it's one thing to ride the bus all the way from West Point to Eaton High School. Tip your hat to anybody that would do that. She lives in near the Grayson County line, and she's got a five-year-old, and she drives him to the West Point Elementary School every day because they were from West Point, and she wanted to keep him in that school this year. I think she's trying to talk him into, you know, maybe coming down to the new school in Stevensburg. You know,
I'd say so.
Next year. But anyway, that was a nice series.
Yeah, it was. It was a good series of articles.